Chapter 2.
Listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't. You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy.
The child that Moondy brought before them was not anything like what Mace had imagined. For one, he was a youngling. He was small and thin. He couldn't be more than 9 standard, and even that felt generous. What was Master Kuro thinking, training a boy that still belonged in the creche? But the longer Mace studied him, past the distortion of numerous shatter points, the more uncertain he became. The child held himself like a knight fresh out of a war zone, balanced on the balls of his feet, knees slightly bent like he was ready to move. His eyes flashed around the room, checking for exits and evaluating the counselors in their seats. The dark hair and pale skin only drew attention to the ragged scar that ran from his cheekbone to his ear, and the smaller one dimpling his chin. Had those been made by shrapnel? The boy wore a lightsaber at his waist, and Mace could almost hear its humming. With a sudden flash of prescience, he knew that the blade was multi-crystal. He shoved down the horror at that thought that someone 9 standard was carrying a multi-crystal blade when most waited until knighthood to add a crystal if they ever did so at all. Watching the wary tension in the child's shoulders, Mace didn't doubt that the boy knew how to use it. What had Anya Kuro done? Moondy bowed, and the boy mimicked him perfectly. Counselors, this is the child that I spoke to you of. What is this youngling's name? Master Poof asked. You have yet to say. Moondy looked at the boy before stepping away to take his seat. The child looked painfully small standing there alone, but his back stayed straight. He didn't cower, even though he had to know that his unease was seeping through his shields. Mace admired the courage, and some of the sternness of his shoulders eased. Moondy sat back in his chair, looking around at all of them, troubled. He has not given me a name. Plo Koon leaned forward in his seat. Noting the softness in the Keldor's posture, Mace released his amusement to the Force. That was fast. What's your name, little one? The child kept his eyes somewhere over their heads. I don't have a name, Master. His voice was quiet, soft, and almost rusty. Mace frowned. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Rancisis and Sifo-Dyas do the same. Plo's expression didn't change, even though the goggles and mask would have made it impossible to tell. Why don't you have a name? The boy straightened, shoulders going back as if he was coming to attention. Coming to attention, like a soldier. Mace released the anger crawling up his spine into the Force. It didn't help as much as he'd hoped, not when he could still see the boy and all the implications of his posture. Jedi do not covet. Jedi have no possessions, not even their own names. We belong only to the will of the Force, the boy recited. He spoke the words like they were a mantra, as well-trained as the Jedi code. Mace couldn't fight the chill overtaking him. Judging by the stiffening of the council's shoulders, from Koth to Peel to Jocasta knew, they felt it too. He remembered Kuro leaving after Sing, claiming that she was casting off her old identity, her old name. He hadn't been on the council yet, but rumors spread quickly enough in the temple that everyone knew she was calling herself a Dark Woman and fleeing to the Outer Rim. He hadn't thought she had gotten so lost. I see, Plo said. His voice was still calm, his shoulders loose, but there was something electric about him in the Force. Mace resolved to find him for a spar later. As one of the best duelists in the temple, there weren't many that offered him a challenge. When Plo could be nudged toward the Sals, their matches always drew a crowd. Think on one, you will, Yoda said. The Grandmaster wrapped his gimmer stick on the tile floor. If live in the temple you shall, a name you must have. The child bowed. He was so small. "How old are you, Padawan?" Master Teen asked. He caught them all off guard, since Teen usually kept his own counsel unless prompted. 11 standard, Master. Mace blinked. The increased age did not lessen his anger. It only drew attention to how small the child was. Had Kuro been starving him? A trip to the Halls of Healing was certainly in order. 11 was still young for a Padawan, very young. And judging by the way he held himself, the multicrystal blade at his side, the boy had been training for years. "A trip to the healers you are in need of," Master Yaddle said, decisive. She hopped down from her seat. "Find you lodging for the night, we will. Discuss your future tomorrow, we shall. Come." She strode from the chamber without looking back at them. The boy followed her closely, a step behind. He asked no questions. As soon as the doors closed behind them, the chamber erupted in noise. 11 standard! What was Kuro thinking? How long has he been training? "You know," Plo said, quietly, to Mace's left, "I am tempted to find Master Kuro myself, just to speak with her, of course." Mace tilted his head, biting back the fervent agreement. "Of course." "Silence," Yoda snapped. The crack of his gimmer stick had them all settling down, like unruly younglings. "Listen to Master Mundi's assessment, we will." The Saurian master dipped his head in thanks. "This child is skilled. He knows all his beginner and intermediate katas for the first 6 forms, at full speed. He meditates better than some knights I could name. His education is spotty in several areas, like politics and diplomacy, and quite advanced in others like ancient history and astronavigation." Mundi hesitated, and they all took notice. "When I claimed him, Master Kuro had him shadow walking. His aim was superb before the force exhaustion began to catch up." The chamber erupted in noise once more. The ache in Mace's temples did its level best to kill him. "Preposterous," Poof snapped. "He is a child. Kuro is the only master we know of to have perfected the technique." "He carries a multicrystal blade," Mace said. All eyes turned to him as the counselors went quiet. Mundi inclined his head. "Yes, and it does not have a training mode. If he had been any less in control, I might have lost a hand in our spar. The strength of his blade surprised me." The implications of that were staggering. "A skilled and patient master he needs," Yoda said. Mace scowled when the troll looked in his direction. He pushed his disagreement at Yoda, rather than release it to the Force. The Grandmaster cackled. Deppa had been knighted a year ago. Mace was not ready for a new Padawan, considering his first had driven him bald. "But tomorrow, that decision we will make, hmm?" "Where will he stay tonight?" Peel asked. He looked troubled. "I have reservations about sending him to the creche, considering his training." "You think of a danger to the younglings," New snapped, voice cold. Peel shook his head, ears flopping. "No, I think they might scare him." "House him with a new knight, perhaps," Plo proposed casually. "One of us would only scare him at the moment. Maybe someone closer to his own age would help him relax." Mace stiffened. Yoda turned his damnable gaze back onto him. "In the temple, Knight Balaba is. Friendly she is. Welcoming, she would be." Plo chuckled, quietly. Mace was certainly going to ask him to spar, and then push him around the cell until the Keldor cried mercy. He wasn't sure what it was about the child, small, quiet, and surprisingly skilled, that made the two other masters think he was suited for Mace. The boy couldn't be more different from his first Padawan. Regardless of their opinions, Mace was not looking for a new student. Getting Deppa involved was a dirty move. She would be ecstatic at the thought of being a sister Padawan. This was not happening. "I will see if she is amenable," Mace said, through gritted teeth. When the healers instructed him to remove his shirt, he hesitated. He was scarred, and those scars were a mark of his failure. It was immature and inappropriate for a Jedi, but he didn't want them all to know he was a failure, not yet. They had been kind to him so far, even if the intimidating circle of masters seemed more and more upset every time he spoke. The temple had been kind to him, and he didn't want them to realize that this had been a mistake. So, when he pulled off his shirt, he pushed a layer of the Force over his skin. He was bad at illusions. That had frustrated Dark Woman, but there was something about the artificiality of it all that he had a hard time grasping. The Force showed what was, and illusions felt too much like a perversion of that. He was working on it. He might not be skilled at illusions, but he put all his concentration into the Force, directing it to whisper, "Look away," and "You do not see me." He wasn't good at illusions, but he was very good at disappearing. The healers overlooked most of his scars, save the few that weren't marks of failure so much as growth. The spot on his left arm where the bone had split the skin after he broke it the first time. The back of his knuckles, from his wrappingless hand-to-hand training. His first lightsaber sear, high on his right shoulder. The healers didn't react, so he assumed he had done well enough. Master Yaddle, small and green, re-entered the room when the healers called for her. "Well, you are, child." "Yes, master," he said. The healer frowned at them both. "He is a bit underweight, and it seems likely that, in combination with extensive Force overuse, managed to stunt his growth. He's smaller than he should be if he's truly 11 standard." He looked down, embarrassed despite himself. Dark Woman had never told him he was too small. "I would like to put him on a special diet to start correcting that." "Of course," Master Yaddle said. "He is up to date on his vaccines, at least. He also needs to be getting more sleep and more time to relax. His hormones are a bit too primed for fight or flight at the moment." The healer frowned again. "More meditation might help." Master Yaddle nodded sharply. "Anything else, is there?" She stared at the healer intently, and he released his confusion to the Force. There was an undertone here that he couldn't read, and that made him nervous. The healer looked conflicted, and then shook their head. "No, a few bruises, from sparring most likely, based on their location. A scar or two that looked like training slips, no more than any other accident-prone youngling." Master Yaddle looked relieved, for some strange reason he couldn't comprehend. Then she smiled at him. "Good, this is." She gestured to him, and he managed to halt the flinch. Dark Woman thought it was weak to flinch, and weakness led to the dark side. "Come, introduce you to the knight you are staying with, I will." She led him through the halls of the temple. It was overwhelming, the number of Force-sensitive minds battering his shields. None of them paid much attention to him, since he was walking with Master Yaddle, but he could still feel his shoulders hunching inwards. The temple was so big, and he'd never been around this many people in his life. A week ago, his world had consisted of Dark Woman and the criminals she had him take down. No one else. They stopped outside a door in a residential hallway. He tried to remember the path they had taken to get there, but the turns were blurry with his distraction. This would certainly mean punishment. He swallowed. Master Yaddle pressed a bell on the door, and it opened before the chime had time to fade. There was a young woman there, younger than anyone on the council had been, and certainly younger than Dark Woman. She was a humanoid with darker skin, jewels pressed into the bridge of her nose and forehead. When she caught sight of them, she smirked and waved them in. "Master Mace already calmed me to say that I was having a visitor tonight, courtesy of the council. He neglected to say they were so tiny. I imagine you're giving him quite the headache." She winked at him. He didn't know what to do. He stared. Yaddle huffed, but she was smiling. "Cheeky you are. Turn your master bald, you did." He thought back to the council chamber, discarding the members whose species were naturally hairless. He was left with the humanoid male who had looked so stern next to the Keldor master. It was hard to imagine that serious man with a student as unruly as this woman. He tilted his head, uncertain. She stuck out a hand. "Knight Depa Balapa, kid, you must be tired, but I won't hold it against you." Cautiously, waiting for her to turn on him for the presumption, he took her hand and shook it. She smiled at him again. Her hand was soft but calloused in the same way that his was, from the lightsaber that hung from her belt. Knight Balaba let him go, like his touch was incidental, and looked back at Master Yaddle. "I have a list of his dietary needs for you, I do. Use the holonet to choose a name, he must," Master Yaddle said, passing over a piece of flimsyplast. For the first time, something seemed to crack Knight Balaba's good cheer. "You don't have a name," she demanded. He winced. None of them were happy about his not having a name, and he didn't understand. Dark Woman said Jedi did not possess anything, not even themselves, but everyone in the temple used names like it was a given. A tiny curl of doubt twisted his stomach before the terror of what that doubt could mean banished it. To cover his reaction, he bowed. "No, Knight Balaba." She shook her head. "Call me Deppa, please. Knight Balaba still doesn't fit right." There was no way he would disrespect her like that. If they wanted to test his training, there were far less obvious ways to go about it. She watched him with a new kind of calculation in her eyes. He could see the resemblance to her master now, that shrewd gaze in the council chamber. "Let you get settled, I shall," Master Yaddle declared. He pushed down the unease at changing Jedi again. Dark Woman wanted him to learn, he reminded himself. "Rest, you will." The small green master disappeared. Knight Balaba looked him up and down. "Right. Well, late meal isn't for another hour or so, so why don't you get started on name research? You can continue after we eat." She stared at him as if waiting for a response. He wasn't sure what the question was, so he nodded. Knight Balaba seemed satisfied enough with that answer. "Great, I'll get you set up on the holonet." She left him alone after that, on a soft couch in what looked like a common area. She went to the kitchen, one of four doors leading out of the main room. Two of the others were bedrooms, one of which would be his for the night, and the last was a fresher. Her rooms were small but nice enough. He opened up a search on the holonet. Rate of name occurrence got him to a database that allowed him to input species, genders, planet, frequency, and type of name. He did an empty search for humanoid male, most common. The most common first name was John, 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 Gon, Zon. The most common second name was Antilles. John Antilles. That was good enough. He cleared the search and went back to Deppa in the kitchen. She blinked at him in confusion when he handed her the datapad. "Did you have a problem with the holonet?" "No, Knight Balaba, John Antilles, said." Knight Balaba stared at John. Did you already find a name you like?" she asked. She sounded disbelieving. "Yes, Knight Balaba," John said. She did the same thing that Moondi did, where she stayed silent after he finished speaking. John understood that they were testing him, but it was getting tiresome. "What's your name, then?" she asked, hesitant. "My name is John Antilles, Knight Balaba," John said. She coughed. "Did you just say John Antilles?" "Yes, Knight Balaba." She sat down in a chair. Hard. "Kid, you realize that those are the two most common names in the Republic, yeah?" John tilted his head, confused. "Yes, Knight Balaba." She stared at him. John stared back. "You know what? I'm really not qualified for this. It's nice to meet you, Padawan John Antilles." She stuck out her hand again, and for the lack of any better response, John shook it. End of chapter 2.